Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There once was a dude named Sid. He never won and felt disgusted. He got the winning edge, his friends would allege. All for just listening to Sports Grid. If Sid can do it,
so can you.
Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on a Wednesday on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Plenty to discuss in the football realm, even during the summer break from when teams finish their organized activities in the National Football League and will come back for training camp with those dates, Scott, officially released yesterday as well. We're just about a month away from when the early reports to camp will be. July 23rd, the big day around the National Football League, when pretty much everybody, all 32 clubs, will be in camp by then. We're not all that far away even from a short summer break in football coming to a close.
Yeah, it's amazing. Here we go. This is the down. We reached the peak, and now we're going downhill as far as when the season is actually going to begin, which is obviously a few couple months away. But once you start seeing training camps and then everything else and who's showing up and who's not showing up and the veterans versus the rookies, you would think that most teams generally give you like a 2 or 3 day window for the veterans. But from what I'm looking at right now, the Baltimore Ravens are the one that starts camp the quickest or the earliest, however you want to describe it, July 13th. Most of the others go for the 16th or later. But for whatever reason, the Ravens are starting on the 13th. So good for them, I guess.
And there are the rookie report dates, of course. Those rooks get to camp a few days before the vets. And, Scott, I was also intrigued seeing all the reporting dates for training camp around the NFL yesterday. Because the Ravens were earliest, and there's a couple of other notable distinctions there as well, the Bears and the Texans. But those two things check out for Chicago and Houston, as they will start preseason football in the Hall of Fame game very early on in August. I believe the game, as of this moment, is scheduled for August 1st. So they, because they are getting things going early in the preseason, get an extra week of training camp or at least a few additional days to get things started. Still not entirely sure why the Ravens are reporting that early for training camp. I guess we can do some investigating here on FFC and figure out why.
Yeah, maybe because Lamar, missed most of the OTAs. So they said, you know what, if you're not going to come in for OTAs, all right, we'll show you. We'll start training camp a few days earlier. How about that, Lamar? Maybe that does play a little bit of a role. But they have a full week. Like most teams only have 1, 2, 3 days. Some have a week, but Baltimore is one that has the week difference between the rookies at July 13th versus the veterans at July 20th. Maybe that plays a role. They want to get the rookies, first-year players in there and have a full week with them. Seems kind of weird, though, to me.
Yeah. So as I'm seeing it, Scott, and as it's being reported around Baltimore, because the Ravens open up the season, albeit not until September 5th, I guess they're hoping to get the early start on training camp, and that's why they're showing up nearly a full week earlier than a lot of teams around the NFL. I guess if you're going to take down the two-time reigning Super Bowl champions, the team that beat you in your own home ballpark in that AFC championship game, and you're hoping for some revenge, the Ravens hoping to get an early start on that. So that's where Baltimore stands. We learned earlier this week as well that Hard Knocks, which has really expanded in terms of its HBO behind-the-scenes documentary series around the National Football League, not only training camp, which we know is with the Chicago Bears, there's an off-season Hard Knocks edition that is set to debut in just a few weeks following around the New York Giants, I guess in their draft preparation and some of the things we have seen during OTAs and such. But the in-season Hard Knocks, which has been a thing now for the last few NFL seasons, is going to follow around not just the Ravens, not just the Bengals, not just the Steelers, not just the Browns, all of the AFC North in 2024. HBO's Hard Knocks really expanding. And Scott, I bring up the AFC North and in-season Hard Knocks to talk about the Cleveland Browns, a team I know you are optimistic about for this upcoming 2024 campaign. And earlier this week, appearing on NFL Network, Browns general manager Andrew Berry said that Deshaun Watson is ahead of schedule in his rehab from last November's season-ending shoulder surgery. Of course, Deshaun was not out there a ton throughout the 2023 NFL season. He has not played a lot of football, of course, in the last four calendar years. He has not played a lot of football, of course, for the Cleveland Browns after serving that 11-game suspension back in 2022, his first year in Cleveland, for multiple violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy. And yet Andrew Berry, optimistic and hopeful out of what he saw from Deshaun Watson this offseason.
Yeah, listen, the upside to them is tremendous, right? I think anyway, with their offense, picking up Jerry Jeudy, not a quintessential number one, but certainly next to Amari Cooper, that's a pretty good wide receiver tandem. They got Njoku, the tight end is good. Obviously, the backfield is loaded if Nick Chubb can come back, be healthy, and then you throw Watson in there. I mean, that's a pretty good offense. It really is. Schedule is brutal. I mean, everyone in the AFC North is going to have a brutal schedule. It just is what it is. That's why their total is only 8.5. But yeah, if you look on the positive side of things, if Watson can, show some of the glory, if you will, of his days with the Houston Texans, I think they can be a dangerous team. Heck, they made it to the playoffs last year, and you might say that Flacco played great, and he did. But, on the other side, you could say if they made it to the playoffs with, 40-year-old Joe Flacco, they should be able to make it to the playoffs and be that much better with a completely healthy now Deshaun Watson once he gets back and is completely healthy.
Yeah, and it will be interesting, Scott, when you look at Deshaun Watson and what the game log has been. Of course, the last time we saw Deshaun Watson play a full season was back in 2020. Sat out all of 2021 with his contract dispute and a difference of where things were going with the Houston organization. Sat out a ton of 2022 because of the suspension, according to the multiple violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy. Came back, played the final six games of the 2022 campaign for Cleveland. You would expect for him to would take a little time to get his feet wet back, at least on the football field. It wasn't exactly the most optimistic picture. 7 touchdowns in those 6 games to only 5 INTs, only threw for more than 250 yards once in that 6-game span, and it was a loss against the Cincinnati Bengals. And then last year in 2023, again, when you look at the sample size, 6 games, 5 of them fully played, some uncertainty around the shoulder injury that cut his season short back in the middle of November. And again, the number's not overly fantastic, just about 61% of his completion percentage, but his final 4 games that he fully played, at least all of them over 200 yards and 6 touchdowns to only 3 INTs. So that's really, Scott, where I am a little bit skeptical of the Cleveland Browns being able to figure it out, because yes, there is talent on the roster, as there has been the past few seasons, but unless we see the Deshaun Watson that we did back in 2019 in Houston, I'm not sure this team can make it to the playoffs. And until I see it, based on how long it has been since we saw that version of the Browns quarterback, I remain a little bit skeptical.
Yeah, it's not a make or break year for Watson, clearly, because he's under contract for the next 2 more years. They have a $63 million cap hit, by the way. If you're a Cowboys fan and you're worrying about, and some of these other teams, and you're worrying about, putting $55, $60 million in your cap with these quarterbacks that need to get signed, to it and Dak Prescott, yeah. Just know the Browns. Remember, they backloaded it because they knew he was going to get suspended the year. So they did the good thing for Watson and backloaded front-loaded his pay. Well, now you're paying the piper. So he's close to $64 million, and they got him locked in for the next 3 years at this price. But I say it's kind of a make or break in that, you know, if he really doesn't get it again done this year, then any optimistic Browns fan is probably just going to say, you know what, it's not happening. This guy's just not any good anymore. Or maybe he never was, or who knows, but he's not what we thought he would be. I think all the expectations would go out the window if it was a failed year this season.
Yeah, and plus 480's got, like you mentioned, to win the AFC North. It's the third best price out of the four teams in this division. 8.5 the win total for Cleveland. The over has the juice at minus 138. 9-8 in a difficult division, in a difficult conference overall, is by no means a guarantee of a playoff spot. And it's what makes what every team has to do in the AFC North. The Ravens, the Bengals, who are really seemingly, from the odds makers' perspective, battling it out for that top spot in the division. But even the Browns and the Steelers, who of course have been good football teams in years past, what they all have to do, playing each other six times a year, and then everybody else in the AFC to try to earn that playoff berth, is a tall order and a difficult task for 2024. We'll continue to talk the quarterback position. What are we seeing the big deals? Up next, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So, Scott, exactly 1 week ago, in the overnight hours into Thursday, I guess I should say late on Wednesday night, we got the first quarterback deal and a big contract extension here this summer. There have been deals this offseason, Detroit and Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield returning to Tampa Bay, but the big one of the QBs that we have discussed that seemingly are in line for big contract extensions this summer, it was Trevor Lawrence of the Jacksonville Jaguars, a five-year, $275 million deal at $55 million annually on an average salary basis, tying Joe Burrow for the tops of the tops, the richest quarterback, the richest players in the history of the National Football League. Which, of course, Scott, when one deal is done, it only makes the price of the brick get even higher. And so we start to speculate, what's the monetary amount for the next quarterback, and who is that next QB going to be to sign this deal? We said it at the very start of the show. Most teams are in their summer break after the offseason program, OTAs, mandatory minicamps, that has come to a close before we report for training camp around the league by the time the next month plus comes around. You don't really have all that much time. If you are going to make those big contract extensions happen before camp, you can, of course, make it happen before the start of a regular season. So the window, Scott, is getting a little bit more compact around the NFL.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's no sense. You don't have to get it done with any of these teams, but you want to get it done. Clearly, they're negotiating. I don't really know what the sticking point would be, because we all know in the end, you know, it's not like Miami with Tua tags will use him. You know, it's not like Miami saying we want to give you 30 and Tua saying, all right, I want 55. Right. I mean, they can't be that far apart, because if they were that far apart, then Miami would just say, all right, well, you know what, we're not re-signing him. It's not going to happen. They wouldn't leak out stories about how, you know, they're trying to get this thing done. So they got to be basically on the same page. Is it just all the other goofiness? Do they want to wait till training camp when there's more eyes on it, just because from a publicity standpoint? I mean, I wouldn't think that would play a role, but you never know with the NFL. You know, they may actually say, you know what, this is actually our one downtime. There's no draft. There's no scheduling. There's no game. There's no training camp. There's no OTAs. So you know what? Let's give the nation a pause for just 1 month. So guys, don't make any crazy news. Wait till training camp opens up. Maybe that's it.
Maybe it is, Scott. Maybe for a league that is a 365-day-a-year thing, 24/7, for guys that are involved either in front offices or players and coaching staff that are really grinding it down, like really on the grind each and every day throughout the entirety of a football season, for how demanding it is when it starts at the end of July all the way, hopefully, through February, but at least until the beginning of January. maybe you want a little off time. Maybe you use this month and you finally do take a vacation. But you would have to think those front offices are at least sitting around in a couple of conference rooms and chatting, or maybe sending a text to insert X quarterback and his representation. And after Trevor Lawrence gets his deal, Scott, again, $55 million per year, less guaranteed money than Joe Burrow, only $20 million for T-Law, about $219 million for Joey B. They still are the two highest paid quarterbacks and players in the history of the National Football League, and then, of course, at this current moment. Who is the next quarterback? Is it Dallas's Dak Prescott? Will he eclipse the $55 million per year? Is it Tua Tagovailoa in the Miami Dolphins? Could Jordan Love be seeing $50 million-plus to join a group of six quarterbacks at the moment that make $50 million or more? I wonder what those conversations are like right now, if they're at a complete standstill, if there is some idea, Scott, that they will re-engage these conversations as we get closer to the end of the July and those training camp report dates. I wonder where things really stand around the National Football League.
Yeah, and they're all three have different kind of angles, right? I think Tua is going to be the next one. I do think the Dolphins want to re-sign him. That I think is like quibbling over a couple of dollars. Dak down in Dallas is like, you know, everything Jerry Jones has said has seemed to make it be that they do want to re-sign him. But boy, there are a lot of Dallas fans that are like, you know what, just start all over again.
For sure.
And then I think the one, despite what I just said about, you know, one team offering 30 and another guy asking for 55, that might actually be the case with Jordan Love in Green Bay. I think that one, Ben, is the one that could really, you know, if you're Love's reps, right, you're asking for $50 million. That's the going rate. You know, it is what it is. But if you're Green Bay, I could clearly see them saying, well, it's been 1 year. You know, you got to give me more. We're not going to give you $50 million based on 1 year, guaranteed at least 3 years right of that contract. I could see Green Bay saying, hey, give us a Baker Mayfield type of contract. So I could see them asking for $30 million. That's the one where I think the two sides are farthest apart.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good point too, Scott, because if you're Jordan Love's representation, you are certainly asking for $50 million. I'm not sure you're asking for $55 million like Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence, but there are six quarterbacks around the NFL, including those two guys that I just mentioned, Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow, that make more than $50 million a year, and it's $51 million plus. Jalen Hurts at $51 million, Lamar Jackson at $52 million, Justin Herbert at $52.5 million, Jared Goff at $53 million, and then Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow. All of those contract extensions have either happened last offseason or the two this offseason in Goff and Lawrence. So Jordan Love might be saying, as he should be, hey, listen, maybe you think I'm really worth $45 million after what was one season, but really, Scott, a great eight-week stretch that got the Packers into the playoffs and, of course, a sensational postseason debut for Love in Dallas and the upset over the Cowboys. But Green Bay saying, hey, you know, we believe in you, kid, just not to the tune of $50 million, but his representation then counters, don't believe in me, doesn't matter, believe in the market. It's the going rate. It's where things are. You can think it's fair or unfair. You can think it's steep. You can think you're getting me at a bargain. It is just what the going rate is and where inflation continues to go in the National Football League with the salary cap continuously on the rise year over year over year, and it does not seem to be slowing down.
No, it really doesn't. And that's the hook. You know, it's like I can see Green Bay saying, well, if we're going to give you, you know, $50 million for a 4 year contract now, I mean, what's going to happen 4 years from now when you're really, really in your prime? What are we looking at? 65, 70? And that's probably going to be the going rate 4 or 5 years from now, as crazy as it sounds.
And that's such a great point, Scott, and one that we will continue to talk about on the other side of the break. It might seem like we are crazy for saying Jordan Love is worth $50 million after 9 great football games, but if you don't pay him now, you run the risk of waiting. We'll talk about it next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. The quarterback conversation, now as we have summer break in the National Football League, is really going to be one to follow and monitor. Will we see some deals when the NFL is kind of not front and center over this next month? No organized team activities, nobody truly in the facility. They get a couple of weeks of vacation before they report for training camp at the end of July. Will we see a quarterback deal? And Scott, like we just discussed with Jordan Love, will we see one for the Green Bay Packers quarterback? Last year was year number 4, but his first as a starter up there at Lambeau. Struggled to start the year despite 3 good weeks to begin, at least from a passing touchdown perspective, but then really figured things out down the home stretch. 6 of his final 8 games, he was sensational, throwing for more than 250 yards, 18 touchdowns to only 1 INT in the final 8 for Green Bay, as the Packers won 6 of those 8 games and came all the way back to earn a playoff spot, and then, of course, knock off the Dallas Cowboys in that super wild card round where Jordan Love was great once again. 16 of 21 for more than 270 through the air and 3 touchdowns. But, Scott, it is a limited sample size, and there is hope, there is optimism, and there is projection. And you also project what his value is for the illustrious Green Bay franchise, where they haven't had many rotating quarterbacks in the carousel that a lot of NFL organizations deal with. That's probably a part of these conversations right now between Brian Gutekunst, who is the general manager in Green Bay, and Love's representation. And we talked about the idea, Scott, that $50 million might seem like a lot for a guy that had 9 really solid games for Green Bay after only that amount of sample size, but it's the going rate of where the market standard is for the quarterback position. And I talked about this with Donnie last week after Trevor Lawrence's deal, which I think is really stout. And you brought up the idea, Scott, where we're talking about, can Jordan Love make $50 million this year? Heck, 3 years from now, June of 2026, June of 2027, $50 million might feel like an absolute discount and a number we will never see again at the quarterback position with where things are trending in the National Football League. And you run the risk if you are an organization and you wait to pay a quarterback, because even next year, $50 million is going to be unheard of. And if Jordan Love does, as you would hope, as his organization goes out there and has another successful year and Green Bay matches expectation and they get to the postseason led by their QB and Jordan Love, you're not going to pay him $50 million. You're probably going to pay him $58 million or $60 million if you do not pay him now.
Yeah, it's only going through the roof, right? I'm trying to figure out what would be like a winning side. If I'm Jordan Love's people, I think the Trevor Lawrence contract is a good barometer, right? Okay, good, bright young quarterback, potential yeah. Through the roof, not quite, you know, showing the world how great he can be, but you hope he will be. So I would say if he got a 5-year, $255 million or so contract, win for Jordan Love's folks. If I'm Green Bay, I'm probably going to have, you know, you want to give him 35, 40 million, right? You realistically, Danny Dimes type of contract, you have $40 million a year. If Green Bay were to win, I would say, Ben, that they would be able to get a 3-year deal with Jordan Love, give him $45 million and say, listen, you know what? We got to see a little bit more before we completely open up the vault. So sign a 3-year contract. Let's see how you do for 3 years. Salary's going to go up. And if you're great, then we'll have to give you the $65, $70 million, whatever it is, 3 years from yeah. now. But I would think that would be a successful deal for Green Bay. A 3-year, you know, good salary, $40, $45 million, but not yeah. 50 over 5 years.
And let's remember, too, where a couple of the other contracts that have happened this offseason stand at the moment. Baker Mayfield, after proving it last year in Tampa Bay, signed a 3-year deal that's worth about $100,000 but can be up to $115 million. I said $100 million, up to about $115 million with contract incentives and around $50 million guaranteed. So that's about 33.3 repeating when it comes to what his annual average salary is. He is not one of the 10 highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League, but again, it's not any money to sneeze at. Kirk Cousins, who was the big offseason free agency acquisition with the Atlanta Falcons, well, his deal was worth $45 million a year, 4-year deal, $180 million with $100 million guaranteed. He was a free agent. Baker Mayfield was technically a free agent. Jordan Love is still under contract through this next year, as is Dak Prescott, as is Tua Tagovailoa. Trevor Lawrence was under his rookie deal for two more years. It's about the contract extension for a guy that is in-house. We'll continue to talk and debate. Up next, live right here on Football Full Circle, a focus on QB money coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. We roll on. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. So we talked about Jordan Love, the potential quarterback contract extension that might be handed his way at a certain point this offseason. And Scott, I guess timing is an interesting part of it as well. You said, I wonder if they're just going to take a full month off, if there's not going to be that big blockbuster breaking news of a contract deal that is done between a quarterback and his organization. Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa, Dak Prescott, some of the rumor names that are certainly in line for a new deal this year. And it does not mean, let's just say, if by the time all three of those teams, the Packers, the Dolphins, and the Cowboys, show up for training camp at the end of July, that a deal can't be done. Joe Burrow had his record-setting contract extension done and signed on the dotted line. At least it was announced to the public pretty much as the Chiefs and the Lions were kicking off to start a new 2023 NFL season inside Arrowhead. So you have a long time until that first regular season game where you can engage in those contract negotiations. So if it doesn't happen in the next month, just know that even after training camp gets underway and the guys show up, and you would expect both Dak and Tua and Jordan Love to be there, even if they are in contract negotiations, that a deal could happen during training camp.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it would need to get done, you know, by the start of the season, just because you got to figure out what kind of cap space you're going to need, right? I mean, you could defer some of this money, but you want to be able to get that all ironed out for your final roster, right? So, you know, that would be the pressing need more than anything else, maybe, just to figure out, all right, we're going to give you a deal. It's going to, you know, start this year, next year, and do what the, you know, what Jacksonville did, add it onto the contract. So, yeah, listen, who knows what goes on behind the scenes with all this stuff and how many lawyers have to get involved and know the rules for the cap space, and GMs some do, but they still need lawyers to go over it. It could take forever when in reality they have a deal done, but you still need to sign all the, you know, cross the T's and dot the I's, if you will.
Right.
But these guys are all going to be there this year. Like I said, none of these guys are, you know, a free agent, and they're negotiating that they do know they're going to be there. There's no really reason for them not to be in training camp, right? That would be like the next, you know, is Tua going to show up? You know, Trevor's in, but is Jordan Love going to show up? Is Dak going to show up? I mean, I would think so. But that would be like the next step for a quarterback side of saying, like, no, I want to get this done now, and I'm not showing up until it is done.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because a QB can be in a holdout, but you're still the face of the organization. And OTAs is one thing, and mandatory minicamp might be another. But all of those guys that we have mentioned were at both of those stops in the offseason program with their clubs. They were asked about their contract situation while they were out there for practice and in the facility. But they all were like, hey, that will take care of itself. We're getting better right now. The contract is the contract. We'll deal with that when it comes up. But there's a lot of players at other positions that could hold out, and it wouldn't be as impactful if they did not have their new deal. The quarterback, not really that's the case. It would be very, very significant and substantial if any of the three guys, Jordan Love, Dak Prescott, and Tua Tagovailoa, did hold out from training camp unless they had a new deal, and I would not expect that to be the case. In fact, I remember a video the Chargers social media department shared out last year of Justin Herbert, literally, I think, hours or as he was walking walking in the facility on the first day of training camp to sign his contract extension of $52.5 million per year. It either was the day before or the day after that he got that new contract, and it was him happy as can be walking in the facility, which is something for Justin Herbert to be said, because he's not exactly the most emotive individual in the entire world. So even if it doesn't happen in the next month before your favorite team, if this is your favorite quarterback we are talking about, even if they don't sign that new deal, more than likely they'll be there for training camp, and it still can get done throughout training camp as well. So, Scott, we talked about where Jordan Love is, where his value is, what that might be looking like in the conversations. It's very interesting for all the four quarterbacks we have discussed. Trevor Lawrence, who got his deal after his third year in the National Football League, ahead of year number four, but still under contract for the final two seasons of his rookie deal. So his extension weighed out over the final 2 years of his rookie contract, not nearly as much of a bullet for Jacksonville than to bite. Same kind of conversation as well for all of these three other quarterbacks who are in different stages of their career. The Green Bay Packers did not pick up Jordan Love's fifth-year team option, so they renegotiated a deal entering year number four that has him under contract through 2024. Tua Tagovailoa is in the final year of his rookie deal with the Miami Dolphins, so he's got 1 year left on that, and he would be a free agent at the end of 2024 if there is no contract extension done before we really get underway in this NFL campaign. Dak Prescott looking for his third contract, the veteran of this group, if you will. So, Scott, I think it's interesting when you compare then the value and how much money each of these guys is going to see, because if I had to pick from the three that we have talked about still outstanding in terms of those new contract extensions, the guy that who would at least rival what Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence have made, if not even get a few million dollars more, that's Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I think he'll be the one. You know, and it's funny, Dak and Tua are the ones, I think, that would have the most detractors from their respective fans. Like, I know I'm a Dolphin fan. Do I want Tua tags for $50 million a year? No, I don't. You know, that's going to go back into the draft and maybe take a couple of steps backwards. I understand all that, but there's a lot of people that think the same way about Tua. There's certainly a lot of people, George Kurtz being one of them here at Sports Grid, that wants no more of Dak Prescott, right? I think Jordan Love, the Packer fan, as a consensus, really, I think they're happy with him, and they see the potential, and they would want him. But the other two, you know, it's bad enough giving a guy $60 million, right? If Jerry does do that with Dak, but then, you know, you're you know, ticking off part of your fan base that's saying, we're never going to win. We're never going to win. What are we doing? Mm-hmm. So, but you want to, you know, start all over again. You know, Jerry's up there in age, and that's what you'd be doing if he got rid of Dak, because, you know, there's not going to be a quarterback, you know, unless Trey Lance is sitting there, and we don't know. You know, maybe the Cowboys behind the scenes are loving what Trey Lance is doing, and he's living up to the potential that made him, what, the third overall pick? Maybe that's the case, but otherwise, man, $60 million. I'm waiting, Ben. I'm waiting for one team to just bite the bullet and just say, we're not doing it. Not doing it. I know the cap's going up. I get all that stuff, but I got 50 plus other players that I want to pay, and I just can't, with a straight face, pay one guy $60 million of our 225, 35, whatever it ends up being, salary cap. I just can't do it. So see you later. We'll move on. We're going to build this team around a decent quarterback, a Baker Mayfield type. We'll pay $30, $35 million, but we're not going $60 million. Sorry. Go get it somewhere else.
Scott, there certainly is some validity to the idea that if you let one of these guys walk, for whatever your determination is, that he's not the face of the franchise, that even if he is projected out with some value, he's not worth $50, $55 million, that you could then be, of course, very quarterback hungry in the NFL draft if you believe in the prospects coming. And to have a quarterback on his rookie deal, man, that's how you build a successful roster around that quarterback that you believe in, because then you can spend so much money on everybody else and assemble a great football team. But of course, that all goes with the catch 22 that the quarterback is by far the most important position to elevate said team to the level of success. What that level of success is, it is a playoff spot. Is it a conference championship contender? Hey, is it hunting down a Lombardi trophy? That's to be said. But there might be a thought. I'm not sure that Jerry Jones feels it in Dallas or that anybody in Miami feels it about Tua Tagovailoa, but I wonder if they've had conversations and they project out, hey, we're, you know, we love Carson Beck, love Quinn Ewers, love what he's doing at Texas. Hey, we think this guy Connor Wiegman at Texas A&M could be pretty good, or Shador Sanders when he comes out of Colorado for the NFL draft. If we could be in the running on these guys, even with a good year in 2024, then maybe that's something we're willing to do. But it doesn't often go hand in hand to have your pick of the litter in a quarterback draft if you also have a successful year and you have hopes of putting up a winning record. We'll continue these conversations up next, live right here on Football Full Circle, all a part of Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, as we look at the quarterback contract conversation around the NFL, Scott, let's say that Dak Prescott does get paid. They give him the contract extension that many speculate is out there, that Dak seems rather confident is going to come. At least he can say he doesn't play for money. But that's an idea that maybe something is happening behind the scenes. It seems, at least at this point, that Jerry Jones is welcoming the idea of paying Dak Prescott what he is deserving of. $55 million. That's the highest we have ever seen on an annual average salary basis for both Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence now. If/when Dak Prescott is paid, do you think it's more than what Joey B and T-Law have accrued?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't say that like he's better. I just say that right. Like he's got free agency at his doorstep. And him on the open market, say what you want about his inability to win in the postseason, you want to pin it all on him, okay. But the bottom line is he plays out this year. He has another Dak Prescott type of year, successful, maybe not in the postseason. On the open market, he'll get $60 million. He's got to be asking for $60 million. And that's where I think, you know, the difference lies, you know, $4 or $5 million a year. I mean, put into perspective, Ben, Ralph, one of our LLs listening to the program, since Scott wrote me an email here. So the quarterback rate is $55 million a year. $150,000 a day times 365 a full year equals just under $55 million. So these quarterbacks are making $150,000 a day, in which half the days they're doing nothing because, you know, football's not, 12 months of the year. It is for the media and for the fans, but it's certainly not for the players. So it's a lot of money, right? I mean, you would also think, I mean, maybe I'm naive on this stuff, Ben, but wouldn't you think if you're Dak or Tua or whoever, and you just know that, you know, $40 to $50 million is really the going rate. You don't need 55. Wouldn't they somewhere along the line say, okay, you know, that's all I need. Give me 45, 50 million, right? Like I'm making a big sacrifice here, right? But spread the rest around. Go get me some players that I can be successful so we could win. Do whatever it takes. You know, I want my fair share, but I don't want to break the bank. You know, did Trevor Lawrence really need 55 million? You know, even though it is 3 years from now? No. Does Jordan Love at this point in his career really need 50 plus million dollars? I mean, I wouldn't think so. Dax has made a gazillion dollars. This is his third contract. Like instead, you know, wouldn't you say just give me, I want to be here, I love it here, fans are great, give me 45 million, save 15, 20 million, and put that towards the rest of the team, and let's really, you know, go get some players and win a championship. But again, that's naive thinking.
Yeah, I don't know if it's naive. I certainly think it's earnest. I think guys individually are going to look for all the money that they can for what they sacrifice to play this. And knowing that NFL owners' pockets continue to grow larger and larger each and every year, but it is certainly a competitive balance, right? Tom Brady was famous for never taking the most money that he could. Patrick Mahomes is on a very franchise-friendly deal now that has been reworked in instance. But when he signed it a few seasons ago, it seemed like it was going to be this astronomical price for the 10-year contract extension, where Mahomes isn't even one of the eight highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League, but by all metrics, he is the best quarterback in the National Football League, certainly with Lombardi trophies and Super Bowl championships. And I think there is the natural way of being a fan to look at some guys like Tua Tagovailoa, to look at some guys like Dak Prescott, to even have your questions about Jordan Love and beyond, although I think optimism kind of clouds any idea of not really having done anything or just doing it in really one season. Dak Prescott's 2-5 in the playoffs. The Dallas Cowboys, as we have long shared, 13 playoff appearances since their last Super Bowl championship in 1995, never even a spot past the divisional round in a conference championship game, let alone win the NFC title, let alone play for another Super Bowl championship. Not saying that's the be-all, end-all in terms of the metrics that will decide his contract extension, but I do understand George Kurtz, and I do understand many Cowboys fans that say, hey, let him walk this year. Unless this year is different, let him walk. It's what Jerry's doing with Mike McCarthy, right? They brought Mike McCarthy back when many thought Bill Belichick was going to be rumored in the running for the Dallas Cowboys job. And they brought McCarthy back, but it's the hottest seat the seat has ever been, maybe around the National Football League, as they brought McCarthy back but did not give him a contract extension. So this is his final year under contract. Very much a prove-it year. You know, go broke or go home kind of idea here for Mike McCarthy. Could they do the same with Dak Prescott? I think it's more of an interesting game to do that with your quarterback than your head coach, but that might be a prevailing thought that, hey, unless we really change things this year, guys, unless we really change things, Dak, I'll give you $62 million next offseason if you win us a Super Bowl. Dak, I'll give you $60 million next offseason if you even get us to the NFC Championship game. I don't think that's how they're negotiating, but I think it's a natural thought, Scott, from a fandom and content and media perspective to even offer up such suggestions.
Yeah, I just don't know why they would do that. Like, if you really knew in the back of your mind that you weren't going to re-sign him, barring a Super Bowl win, right? And same thing with McCarthy. But McCarthy, okay, we're paying you, you play it out. But with Dak, you know, you're not going to lose anything with McCarthy when he walks away. You're going to lose with Dak in that you could trade him now. Like, if you know your price is 50, 60 million, we're not going there. We tried, yeah. So you know what? We might as well trade you now because, and I'm not a big, right. Like, okay, trade and then don't get anything for him, but it doesn't seem like Dallas is all in. You know, like at Cincinnati with T. Higgins, let's franchise him. Let's be all in for this year. San Francisco, okay, you know what? We're going to pay these guys. Hopefully we get Debo in here. If we don't, give him a new contract, but we're going to be all in for this year. I don't get that sense with Dallas. You know, they're letting everybody walk. So if you're not going to be all in for this year, then why keep Dak? Why not trade him now and you can get something for him?
And that is the risk that you run, very much so, right? Because if Jerry Jones, and I'm not saying that he said this or even has even thought these words, but if you're saying to Dak Prescott, hey, win us a Super Bowl and I'll pay you $65 million, if your standard of what success really is winning a Super Bowl, and that is your hope and expectation, then you want to be successful. You want to have to pay Dak more next season. So why wouldn't you just pay him now and save your franchise some money and be, prudent in doing so? More on Football Full Circle coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. And Scott, you said something in our last segment about Dak Prescott. And would he, in conversations, of course, with the entirety of the Dallas brass and the front office and the organization, say, hey, instead of paying me $60 million, give me $56 million per year. And then use some of that change to disperse it around the organization. One thing that we've talked about at length today is the quarterback position. And one thing we kind of slowly stopped talking about after Justin Jefferson signed his record-setting deal now 2 weeks ago was the wide receiver spot. And Scott, Dak Prescott, part of the Cowboys, looking for his contract extension this offseason, as is CeeDee Lamb. No real news on that front at the moment. Ja'Marr Chase still in the ongoing contract negotiations. That even includes after T. Higgins signed his franchise tag tender for 2024 over the weekend as well. Still some wide receivers to figure out their contract details for next season.
Yeah, I think all these guys don't realize, Ben, that there's a salary cap. I think these guys all think that, you know what, there's enough loopholes in that salary cap. You can get around it. So, yeah, I got Wetzel there telling me to take $10 million less. Thanks, you know, thanks for spending my money, yeah. Scott. But you know what, if they want to pay me 60, right, they can find a way. And while I buy that to a certain extent, but eventually you have to do pay the piper, like we spoke about earlier with the Cleveland Browns. Them backloading that contract because they knew Watson was going to get suspended, so they didn't pay him anything in the first year. So now everything's backloaded. Now they have a $63+ million cap hit. I mean, eventually you're going to have to account for the money you give them, whether there are loopholes or not. So they got two big contracts. I mean, for a team that just has underachieved postseason-wise, you know, you're looking at Ben making two guys the highest paid players in their position, right? Or at least that's what these guys are asking for. Certainly, you know, CD is going to be saying, you know what, Justin Jefferson got this amount. I'm getting that as well, and in a dollar more. And Dak, you know, is doing the same. So can you look yourself in the mirror and say, I got an underachieving postseason team, but my two most important positions on the football field, arguably quarterback and wide receiver, make the most money of anybody. That's a tough pill to swallow.
For sure. And you're spot on in that, Scott. I don't think CeeDee Lamb is going to rival Justin Jefferson in the $35 million per year, most ever for a wide receiver, most ever for anybody that did not play the quarterback position. But prior to J-Jet, the top of the market was A.J. Brown, who signed his offseason extension early this offseason to the tune of $32 million. I think CeeDee Lamb probably falls somewhere in the middle of that. I think Ja'Marr Chase has the better chance, as we have often discussed, to rival Justin Jefferson at the top of the market to be right around $35 million, and even if he has a little bit more, because Justin Jefferson and both CeeDee Lamb, first-round picks way back in 2020, have completed 4 years of their National Football League career. Ja'Marr Chase, a top 10 pick back in 2021, only 3 years and is still under contract for two. You kind of average it out over the final 2 years of the rookie deal, unlike J-Jet and CeeDee Lamb, who will average it out over the final year of their rookie deal. It just makes a little bit more sense for the franchise. And Scott, that you also said something there that I think is really sound. We talk about highest paid, record-setting deal in terms of average annual salary. Just if you were to look at the numbers, 5 years, $275. That's $55 million per year. But that does not mean, starting right now, that Joe Burrow is making $55 million in terms of the cash that goes into his bank account. It does not mean that Cincinnati has to take a minus $55 million from their salary cap. There are so many different logistical things that go into how these contracts are structured that really do benefit or hurt, depending on where it is, what the franchise is looking to do, and their cap number and cap space for a season.
Yeah, it's just there's different ways, like I said, around it, but eventually you have to pay the piper. You want to give it signing bonuses, you want to give it incentives and all the different goofy rules that they allow. So you can, you know, be paying, we'll just say Dak, you could be paying Dak $50 million this year, but cap wise, you can only be $30 million because of the incentives that he's going to get because he steps on a football field. But eventually you got it, that extra $20 million, you still have to account for that at the back end of that contract. And that's what the issues with these these guys. And that's why you get a lot of extensions on top of guys who already have, you know, 1 or 2 years left. Well, you know what? Because we got a big cap hit with these guys. So if we give them a new contract, we can now spread that cap hit over the length of the contract. So there's different rules and regulations like that. But I'm eventually assuming it's all going to get done. Tua's going to sign with Miami. Dak, I'm going to say Dak's going to sign. And Green Bay's going to sign, you know, with Jordan Love when everything is said and done.
Yeah, I would agree as well. I think it's just what is standard right now, where the market rate is, what exactly those extensions look like, and the dollar figures. That's a different conversation. But I think all three guys do get their new deal. He is Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.